If you have been tuning in for this seminar, you remember that on Monday we covered why we need to do digital evangelism. And on Tuesday we covered some of the platforms that we can be able to use. And yesterday Pastor Jonathan covered design, and that was an amazing presentation, Pastor Jonathan.
Thank you.
And he showed us how God communicated the plan of salvation in symbols, and he showed us how the images are important in communicating the message. So he highlighted that communication, clear communication, is very, very, very important. So today we're going to be touching another side of content creation. Yesterday we touched about design. Today we're going to be talking about video. I love video, Pastor Jonathan. How about you?
Amen. Yeah, I've grown to grow for a love for video. I actually started with just design. But through the years, I've also incorporated video, and I found that they're actually more linked than we think. So video is definitely one of my favorites.
Wow, that is amazing. Because I have seen you here at Village Seventh-day Adventist Church creating a lot of videos. Some of the videos that we are watching on education, faith moment here for this care meeting, and you have done an amazing job. So I have first question for you. Mm-hmm. When did you start getting involved in video?
When did I start? Well, I guess initially it would have been in college. That was my first introduction. I took a class called video production. And one of the assignments that we had to do was we had to create a short 3 to 5 minute video and basically talking about anything that we could use for ministry, like a ministry video. And so I came up with this script. He taught us storyboarding. I came up with B-roll, and we shot, and I edited, and the video was not good, but
I was about to ask you. It was very easy for you, right? You just put stuff together, and the video came out really nice and good the first time.
Oh, yeah, that's a common idea. People think, hey, can you make me this video? You just clip, throw some stuff on there, and you have a video. But that's actually not the case. There's a lot more that goes on to video than just that.
Yeah, as Pastor Jonathan is saying, there's a lot more that goes into video. You have to have gear, and by gear we refer to the equipment that you use, the cameras, the audio equipment. You have to come with it and position yourself in such a way that you can be able to take good videos. And you have to write a script. Pastor Jonathan has just mentioned writing a script. You don't just make things up and put them together. Mm-hmm. You have to be intentional.
Yeah, very, very intentional. And it's funny because you'll spend you'll actually spend hours for a short 3 to 5 minute video, maybe even less, and people don't see the forth or the all the planning that goes behind the scenes. So
that is true. So tell us more about your first video that you were just telling us about.
My first video, actually, if you look up my name on YouTube, Jonathan Min, it's actually on my YouTube page.
Really? I'm going to look it up. I haven't watched it.
Yeah, it was a college assignment, like I said. And the video was about, it was about God as a creator, a designer. And I came up with a script. And basically the gist of the video is that it, through nature, we see God as our designer. And I had a quote in there. I said, what makes the artist different than the designer? You know, what makes art different than design? And I came up with the answer after that. It said, design serves a specific function and a purpose. And so basically from there, you show that God created us to have a specific purpose.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. That is amazing. As I can testify that after that you have made a lot of videos. You have gotten better over the years and learning a lot. So my next question is, maybe you have touched some of the components of video, but I would like to know what video is all about. This sounds more like a generic question, but do you mind explaining what video is all about?
Yeah, to answer that question, it's a broad question, but to break it down, there's a couple of different types of video. You'll have a bunch of different types. You'll have like those hour-long sermons you'll see on YouTube. You'll see like short little promotional videos. You'll even see like 30-second ads and just various types of videos. So when we talk about video, we're not just talking about one, you know, specific type of thing. There's various formats. But for me, what I've come to understand about video is essentially for good video, even if it's something as formal as a promo or something, something that drives good video is story.
Mm.
To me, that's what video is all about, really. And the reason is because, you know, let's say, for example, you're watching an ad, right? And it's just giving you the facts. It's very dry. You know, it's saying, this is what we're selling. This is how much it is. This is how much time you have to get it. Get it now.
And then it's done.
And
I wouldn't want to get anything from that.
Right. And, yeah. And there's no incentive for you to actually, there's no desire to hook you onto what they're selling.
So you are saying, put all those facts inside a story.
Yes. Tell a story that will grip your viewers so that they can actually have that heart connection and then be interested in what you're giving them.
So you're talking about catching someone's attention.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And sorry to cut you off, but more than attention, I would say good story really grips your heart. And if you can grip the heart of the people, then you can do whatever from there on.
Yeah, I remember a project that we recently worked on together. Mm-hmm. We did a video that was probably 5 to 6 minutes.
Somewhere.
The one that we took from El Salvador. Mm-hmm. We're promoting the college that is being built down there.
Yeah.
And we took the history of the pioneers of the work in El Salvador, the missionaries that went there. And then we told the story of how those missionaries died and they passed the baton to the present day missionaries, and we then transitioned into what needed to be done right there and then. So was that a good example of a story?
Yeah, that was a great example. And actually, I'll let you guys know, if you go to our YouTube page, villagesta.org, the video is called Ford Mission College, right? Ford Mission. You'll find that on our YouTube page at Village SDA. Interestingly, the creation was actually Michael's. So maybe you can tell us a little bit about how you came up with that story. I read through the script and I was like, wow, he came up with a very nice script.
That's right. I love history. So especially history of our pioneers. This is something that we can use in our church as well, because we have so many amazing stories. I love
a
the
lot.
Book,
yeah.
Life Sketches by Ellen G. White. So taking that history and making it live again so that our young people will be attracted to our history, putting it into video. So when I was there in El Salvador, when I was shooting the plans of building the college and the meetings that were happening and what the forecast was, I had in my mind that there are some people who have died who never knew what this story or this country would be like. Maybe they struggled by like going through countries where there were wild animals and stuff like that. So now there are people that have better equipment and they are building on to the work they have done. So I wanted to communicate that idea that this work is not just what we are doing today. They're actually people who laid the foundation of this story. So when I was shooting different shots, I'm thinking in my mind what needs to be communicated as well, so that we can bring those life stories that we take from our past history as a denomination or as a movement, so that many people will be attracted to those stories as well.
Amen. And I'll share with you a little bit of what was going on through my mind when I actually saw the video. I was inspired.
Amen.
Very inspired.
And that's the goal, right?
That's the goal.
Amen.
And that's what we're trying to explain here. That's what story does. And in the example that Michael, the video that he made, the script, the storyline was intended to inspire people of the history of the work so that when the college actually comes into fruition, the people can look back at that and say, wow, this wasn't just like, okay, one day we're just going to build. You know, this came through a history, a legacy that missionaries left behind, and it leaves you with a feeling of gratitude that you're working on the shoulders of the past, and it makes you grateful for where you are today. And so that story inspired.
That is so true, because I just wanted to jump in, yeah. Because there were people online that were sending us messages after watching that video, and they were saying, how can I be able to be part of the mission trip?
Amen.
But unfortunately, that time we had closed the registration, yeah. And it wasn't possible to add more people onto the mission trip. But I just wanted to stress that point, that when you have a story, one other thing is that you need to have an appeal at the end, right? Mm-hmm. You mentioned it when you were explaining about the ad. Mm-hmm. Like, you lay the story, which has your facts, and then you have a call to action at the end. Mm-hmm. So that was the same thing with that video. It had a call to action. This is mission. Mm-hmm. This is El Salvador, and this is village. And we had message and mission at the end. So it makes you feel like you're part of the work. This leads us to my next question. Why should we use video in ministry?
That's a great question. And just to explain, sort of the same line of thinking that I shared yesterday in my talk, a lot of times most creatives tend to side to one, let me not get political, but in any case, you'll find that most creatives are usually they don't like to be bound or restricted, and so it's hard when you try to work, when you put that in a ministry setting, you know, you want to make sure that the story you're telling is not just willy-nilly or just anything. You know, you want to make sure that it's intentional and that it's in line with the mission of the church.
Yes, I can agree with that, because what you're saying is you don't just want to give people general information.
Exactly.
For example, I'll keep on referring to the video that we did for El Salvador, Ford Mission College. If we were going to just show people how beautiful El Salvador is, then not to tie it with a mission and what is to be accomplished in terms of the gospel, it was going to be just an informational video.
Right, or even a vacational video.
Exactly.
El Salvador is a beautiful place.
Yeah, that's true. So if we're just going to show the people the places, how nice the people are, it will make people want to go to El Salvador. Mm-hmm. But how is this video going to tie people to the mission?
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so it's so important. And many times people are not intentional when they do this, but that's just the point. You need to be intentional, especially when you're making content and videos for ministry. They're not just simply, for example, the video with El Salvador. They're not just to make the place look nice and to make people want to, I want to go to El Salvador. It looks beautiful. Mm-hmm. And that's not a bad thing. But again, we're being intentional, and that comes when you understand what the mission of the church is about. When you understand what purpose you want to have for this video, then you can actually be intentional in how you record. That influences how you record your shots, your script, everything else. And so
that's right. That's right. So I was thinking, whilst we are talking about video and ministry, I was thinking that we have referred a lot to an organization like ministry, like a church, but now there are people or some of our members that make videos on a personal basis. They have their own ministry as an individual. So I'm thinking you can be able to make a video that just shows people, hey, I woke up today, this is what I do, this is what I did, this is what I do on everyday basis, but not actually communicating the gospel online. So do you have any advice that you would like to give to someone who is creating content for like on a personal basis? They're not working for an organization like you and I.
Right, right. Would this be for a Christian?
Yeah, so I'm a Christian. I have my YouTube channel. I have my Facebook account. I just post videos. Sometimes I go live.
Yeah, I would say in that case, I find nothing wrong with doing that sort of personal feeling, that personal style of video. If anything, it actually draws and attracts people. People can resonate with that a lot more easily. A lot of times these more professional videos can seem corporate. And the problem with corporate is that in a bigger group setting, it's inspiring, but at the same time, in a personal basis, you feel like you're not connecting. Mm-hmm. You know, it just feels like that's that big place over there. Here I am here. How does this connect to me?
So, that's right.
So these personal style of videos are good. But then again, you don't want to just leave it there. You want to somehow tie it to some bigger purpose, you know, whether it be whatever purpose you want it to be in your business or ministry.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So you want to be intentional. You want to spread the gospel as well.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with doing personal videos where you explain what you do and maybe DIY videos like, hey, this is how you do this and this. But as a people, we have the message to take the gospel to all the nations, tongues, and kindred. Mm-hmm. So we want to make sure that personal videos that you post, whether you have a YouTube channel, maybe you have your Facebook account or Instagram, just make sure that you are communicating the gospel to other people as well.
Yeah.
So when we started, you referred to the first video that you did, right? Mm. It was out of an assignment.
Yes.
So we have many of our viewers that are watching right now who are asking the question, how do I start?
Mm.
How do I start?
Yeah. This is how you start. You start small.
Yes.
You know, a lot of people have this idea, and I've had this question too. I've always thought, what camera do I use? What lens do I get? You know, these things are so expensive. And
I've seen you with some of the equipment.
The fancy gimbals.
The gimbals and something that looks like, hey, it shows like you are men on a mission.
Yeah, and these things, they cost a lot of money. They're not cheap. And so for the average person, you know, wanting to look for a low budget or within their range, if you can't get a camera, I would say start with what you have. You know, the Bible talks about how he that is faithful in the little things will be faithful in much. And God gives us these things. And the principle is that we need to use what we have. And then God will then later guide us to greater blessings and tools that we can use for him. But a little bit of information, actually. If you have an iPhone, most iPhones today can actually record in 4K and slow-mo. So that, I mean, I'll just leave it at that. That's very high quality.
Okay. So we are kind of tackling two questions. How do I start and what kind of equipment? I'm glad that you tied in both of them together so that we can hit two birds with one stone, right? So I'm thinking there are churches out there, maybe small churches or big churches, but I want to start with small churches. Maybe the young people in the church, maybe the people, they're seniors in the church. Everyone can make videos, right? So I want to ask you, how can a church start a video ministry or a media ministry? Maybe it might be live streaming or just short videos, promotional videos, any kinds of videos that you mentioned. How can a church start a video ministry?
Right, practically.
Yeah.
That's a really good question, and thank you for tying that back, because we the purpose of this talk is to bring information, not just to personal, you know, to you guys personally. Of course, that's the intended audience, but we want to remember that this is in the context of church ministry, and so we're thinking of big churches and smaller churches, as you said.
That's right. That's right. So we have small churches and big churches that want to start their media ministry. Recently, we got a request that how do we start? Can you guys come to our church and teach us how to be able to start a media ministry? So we are looking at very simple gear. I was looking at a testimony of someone who had an iPhone. And they didn't have a media ministry at their church. So what that person did, they took that iPhone and they took a music stand. They just set it on a pew and they would live stream to Facebook the messages. So what other advice would you give to people who'd like to start their media ministry at the church, video ministry? We might have lost your mic. All right, we just continue. So, if you're a church, a small church that is looking forward to start a media ministry or a video ministry, start with the equipment that you have, then develop from there. I would like to encourage churches to actually have a budget for media ministry as well, because this is the avenue that God has given us to be able to reach the world. So here at Village Seventh-day Adventist Church, we started very small. We had two cameras, and then we started adding equipment as we needed it. So share a little bit more on that, on the journey of adding equipment and gear and how video started developing.
Yeah, on that mention, you mentioned budget. Just to throw this in there, if you're a church and you're low on your budget, I know it's hard, but I want to encourage you to actually step out in faith, and that only comes when you actually believe in the power of digital evangelism. And one way that you can actually start small is, for example, when we first came here to the Village Church, I believe we only had one camera, right?
Yeah.
One camera. And from then on, we've been blessed enough to have a whole variety of equipment. But if you have one camera, use that camera really well. And, you know, maybe it might not be as elaborate as you'd like, but, you know, make use of the resources that you have.
That's right. So let's talk about some of the equipment that is out there. Like, we can start with the equipment that we use here. Can you take us through like a tour of the equipment that you use
Sure.
on a daily basis?
Yeah. So, if I remember correctly, we have three Lumix Panasonic GH5s cameras.
Mm-hmm.
And,
That's right.
Those are what you call DSLRs. DSLRs are basically camera lenses that you can actually detach the lens and put on any other different lens that you want. But we have three of those, and we have three tripods and three lights and a big green screen, and and a gimbal. I think that's it as far as equipment, and a ton of audio equipment.
Yeah, and audio equipment as well. As you can see, this is simple equipment. It's not like a huge television production, right? But I've seen the videos that have been shared each evening or each morning. I've seen the quality, high quality. You can actually have high quality but using simple equipment as well. Mm-hmm. Would you like to share how you be able to achieve high quality still using simple equipment?
Yeah, I would say let's say for example, all you have is just a camera and a tripod, and you don't have any lights. Maybe you have something, or let's say you don't even have audio. One thing that you can do practically is you can take that camera that you have, and assuming you have a tripod, you know, let's make it even more basic. Let's say you just have a camera, no tripod, nothing. You know, you're at the bare minimum.
A shaky camera.
One tip that you can do, I'm telling you, DIY, do it yourself, will save you when you don't have the resources. So, for example, if you don't have a tripod, you can use anything like a desk here or a table. You can prop it up somewhere. You can stack up books. You can be creative. And so in that way, you can use or make your own DIY tripod or some sort of stand. And for audio, actually, like I said again, if you do have a smartphone, these can actually record audio somewhat well. And so if you record in the audio recording software and you actually hold it up to their mouth, mm-hmm. you can actually sync it later in post, and there you have your audio. And for lighting, I know when I first started out in video, I had never played around with lights. I just thought, I never actually saw the big deal about it.
Like you just shoot,
Yeah, you just shoot. And
yeah,
and
you see, it's bright outside there. Mm-hmm. You just point
there's
your camera
sun,
at the person.
There's the light.
Yeah, but is that how it works?
Actually, no. There's something about video. You never realize good lighting in video, and that's just it. I mean, when it's good lighting, you won't realize it. It's smooth, it's seamless, and it looks flawless.
You just feel that this video is nice. Mm-hmm. You just want to watch it.
Yeah, you just get that impression, wow, this looks really nice.
Yeah, and there's some videos that you have made, Pastor Jonathan, that we have said, oh, we want to watch it again, repeat it again, repeat it again. How do you feel when you have made such kind of video where mm-hmm. you see that it's communicating what you wanted to mm-hmm. communicate?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm just going to go back quickly to the light thing.
Okay.
Just to answer that. If you don't have light, make use of natural light by, let's say, if the light is shining out a window, you want to shoot to where the window light is actually coming naturally upon the person's face. And that way you can use lighting naturally without having to have lights.
Wonderful. Yeah. And that reminds me of a very important point. Mm-hmm. One thing that you would like to do is to continue learning.
Yeah.
And you can learn from other people that are making videos as well, like Pastor Jonathan and I. You can send us an email on our church website. You can put on our contact us page. You can send us a note that you'd like to learn more. And you can also find tutorials on YouTube. You know, I learned
a lot
by just tutorials. So if you want to know about lighting, you can find tutorials about lighting. If you want to know more about audio, you can find tutorials on audio equipment and gear. You can find a lot more equipment. But before we move away from equipment, you do post editing as well. It's not like just shooting. So tell us, what do you use for post editing? Post is just after you have recorded with your camera, with your phone, you now want to edit because there's some things that you don't want in the video or some things that you want to add in the video. You want to add text, you want to add narration, you want to add music, different things. So take us through that process.
Yeah, that's actually the main chunk, the main half of the part or the process of video making, which is editing. And I use a software called DaVinci Resolve. That's spelled DaVinci Resolve.
And they have a free version and a paid version.
Exactly. And that's why I love it, actually. It's perfect for those who are in churches, who don't have the budget to buy these expensive video softwares.
That's right. That's right. So do you get all you need in that free version of that software?
Yeah, to give a little background, I started video editing using Final Cut Pro. I believe that cost around $150 or $200, somewhere around that range. And with Premiere Pro, that's another video editing software, you have to pay monthly. And it's quite a lot of money. It's around like $20-ish. So that's really expensive. But with DaVinci Resolve, it's completely free. And I found that this software, although it's free, it actually has more than Final Cut, in my opinion. And it has everything you need. The color grading is absolutely amazing, and once you use it, you won't go back.
That's wonderful. So if you don't have a huge budget that you are assigning to media, you can find some free softwares like DaVinci Resolve. And if you do have a budget for other softwares as well, we are not downplaying those softwares as well. Mm-hmm. You can use Premiere Pro, mm-hmm. you can use Final Cut, you can use many other softwares. These days there are other companies that are not well known that are making software. So you can find something that you're comfortable with and that you can be able to use as well. Is that right?
Yeah, that's definitely right. We don't want to downplay any other softwares for those watching online. Just in the context of church ministry, this is a free resource, so I would take advantage of it. But if you do have the resources and you do want to pay a little more, the other choices are good as well.
Wonderful. So I've watched some of your videos. They have nice background music. And you have thrown in some videos that are from some other places that I don't even know. And it just makes it so nice and so smooth.
It's more engaging.
More engaging. There's someone talking about maybe education, and you have that nice music in the background that ties in nicely together. You have made videos for children's programs, for a place to do something. You have put in kids' music that is so nice, that makes it feel like these are kids' programs, right? So my question is, what are sites that you can be able to get music? Maybe if you can tie in with some B-roll. B-roll is just videos that have been recorded that you can put in, overlay your video express or to communicate what you want to communicate.
Yeah. So for B-roll and music or stock footage and music, first I'll talk about music. This is such an important thing, and again, we're talking about a church ministry context, mm-hmm. and or whatever context it may be related to the church. But music is so important. Music choice is very important, and these things influence without speaking, right? You can get a lot of impressions. You can get a lot. It speaks volumes about the video without even having to communicate with text. Music
That's
is
right.
very important. And mm-hmm. so it lets you know what kind of organization it is, what their values are, things like that. And so with music, you have to be very careful. But I've tried out different music sites throughout the years, and I've tried Audio Jungle. That is a website where you actually pay for the songs song by song. So, for example, one song will be around like $25, and depending upon the license, it actually gets more and more pricey.
Yeah, and it's something that you need to pay attention to as well, because there's some details in the licensing.
Mm-hmm.
They tell you that when you download this song, you cannot pass it to a friend or someone else.
Right.
You just have to use it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some sites that are pretty generous with their licenses. They say, if you download, it's yours. We don't care how you use it or how you pass it around. Mm-hmm. So you want to pay attention to that, mm-hmm. because we're doing ministry for God, and we would like to be people that that are credible as well.
Right.
And
we want to have integrity.
We want to have integrity as well. Yeah. So what are other sites that you have used as well?
Yeah. So that was the first site that I've used. And again, not to downplay or show favor to anything, but just sharing resources for those who are looking for resources in the church.
Mm-hmm.
But I've found that I've tried out a website called, like I said, Audio Jungle. I've tried out a place called Artlist, artlist.io. And I've tried out another place called Premium Beat. And all of these different websites, they're either very expensive, or the music quality isn't that great, or if the music is there, it's hard to find music without, you know, any sort of crazy drums going on or some sort of like, you know, craziness going on in the background.
Right, right. I've heard the same problem as well when I was looking for music to put in some of the videos that we have worked together. You find all sorts of music as well. So you'd like to contact maybe Pastor Jonathan to send you some names of some good tracks that he has found.
Sure.
Yeah, so that we can have a community. It would be nice to have a community where we can have a group of our content creators as well,
idea.
That we'll be able to share some of these things, mm-hmm. what worked for you and what didn't work, and what are best things that are out there as well. Mm-hmm. You've used another site that you're using currently, which is called Storyblocks as well. Would you like to share something about that?
Yeah, and just to mention this quickly, for the music site, I'm actually using a site called Soundstripe.
Soundstripe.
That's okay. Sound and then stripe, as in like a zebra stripe. And this is by far the cheapest. It's $11.25 a month, I believe. And you get access to a ton of songs that are unlimited. The license, you know, it's not, the license is just once you have it, you can use it. And so I love Soundstripe. And to answer your question about video, I use Storyblocks.
Mm-hmm.
And Storyblocks has an amazing, it's actually been updated since the last time that I've used it. Before they only had a select number of videos that you could get for free.
Mm-hmm.
But now with the subscription, you can download a bunch of videos and you don't have to pay for them video by video. You can get a whole bunch.
Wow, that is amazing. Wow, that is amazing. You have covered this area very well of music and B-roll. Now we want to go to the green screen. I went into the youth room downstairs and I saw this wall that is covered with a green screen. So if someone who doesn't know anything, about video, if they walk into that room, they'll be thinking, what in the world is this? Why is there a green cloth that is so big on the screen? Would you like to explain to us what you use the green screen for?
Sure. So the green screen is used, you know, if you look at behind the scenes in Hollywood, they'll use that for taking out the background and putting whatever background they want in there.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, if we had like a green screen right here, right now, where we're speaking, we could put ourselves in the ocean, or we could put ourselves by the beach or anywhere else. And basically, in the software, in the whatever software you're using, you can edit out the green screen. And the reason why it edits out so easily is because most skin tones of people are in the orangish, reddish area. And on the color circle,
mm-hmm.
the opposite spectrum or side of that color, orange, is green. And so, meaning green is the greatest amount of contrast between our normal skin tones. So therefore, you can take it out very easily.
That's wonderful. And I've seen you throwing a variety of backgrounds that makes people be in different places.
Where are they at?
Yeah, because it's really hard to find a variety of backgrounds. Let's say you are at a church. You can exhaust all the backgrounds within maybe like 10 videos.
That's a really good point.
And it becomes monotonous to just see all the videos with one background.
Yeah.
And I was thinking and looking back before we started using the green screen, we had a series of videos that you recorded in the sanctuary, and they all had the background of the sanctuary.
Yeah.
Do you want to share something about that?
Yeah, so if you are subscribed to the YouTube channel of our Village Church,
mm-hmm.
you'll remember that we had Jesus on Prophecy during the fall, and we actually recorded it right here near the organ.
So the series of videos of science and archaeology,
yes.
they were called Reasons to Believe,
yes,
right?
Yes, Reasons to Believe.
Right.
And they're actually on a playlist in our YouTube page. You can go check that out. But you're right. You brought a really good point. That's an excellent point. I never thought of it that way. But you get to a point where you exhaust the amount of backgrounds, or at least good backgrounds that you have in whatever building you're at.
Mm-hmm.
And so then it's like, okay, where do we shoot?
Right.
So with the green screen, the reason why it's so useful is that you can use any sort of background that you could ever want. And, of course, you want to make it look realistic, but it's a very good tool.
Yeah, because I've seen in the videos with the educational videos, I've seen you putting blackboards and putting pencils and different kinds of things.
Apples in the background.
Yeah, and books and all sorts of things, and those videos are nice because if you are going to just shoot it in a classroom and you have all the teachers and all the parents or maybe all the students just being in a classroom, you have chairs and you have the whiteboard, it becomes very boring.
Yeah, very boring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Monotonous.
So the green screen gives you that opportunity to take out the green background and throw in an image behind.
Mm-hmm. And just a little bit of tips on how to use the green screen. Some very, very key tips. When we first got our green screen,
uh-huh.
I spent a couple hours in the night to tape our green screen on the wall. And the green screen was all wrinkled. We didn't light it properly. And our first couple of videos using the green screen were pretty bad.
yeah.
Sometimes you would see parts of our bodies would flicker in and out. And
so before you move on, I just want to jump in so that don't miss that that point that you just brought up. So it's something that it's inevitable to make mistakes when you are doing video creation, right?
Yeah.
You can make mistakes. Even Pastor Jonathan, who makes nice videos, can make mistakes, right?
Oh, definitely. And our pastoral team has a very keen eye, surprisingly, and they always notice every flaw. So it's hard to avoid it, but I'm glad, and they help me to fine-tune my videos. Sometimes, honestly, when you're so busy, you just kind of get lazy. But that is a
very important point, because when you create your videos, you would like to have a second and a third eye to go through your video, because as a content creator, there might be some things that you might have missed in creating your videos.
Mm-hmm.
But if you pass your video to your friend and maybe to whoever is around you, they may be able to show you that this part of the video, you could do better if you have done this, because...
Yep.
Even if they're not specializing in creating videos, they're the consumers. They can see what they like also in a video.
Yeah, yeah.
So it is good to consult other people as well, right?
It's very good. And something that you'll need is humility.
Yes.
And it's hard, because as a creator, when you're making any sort of art, whether it be like pottery or video design, any sort of thing that you create, you take pride in your work.
Mm-hmm.
And you spend long, laborious hours. And when someone comes and tears it down, it's hard. So you have to be humble enough to say, okay, maybe I have my biases in working on whatever project I'm working with. Maybe they have a fresh eye on it. But at the same time, you want to know the principles that you're working on,
mm-hmm.
or using to... make the video or whatever thing you're working on. You want to make sure that you understand you're not just making it to simply look good. You're working based on principles. So at the same time, you want to be open to feedback, but you also want to have a reason to back up why you did the things you did.
That's very true. Yeah, when you were explaining that, a thought came into my mind, because you were mentioning or referring to video making as creatives. And my mind went to Genesis, God created.
Mm.
So God is the great creator.
Yeah.
And whilst you are making videos for ministry to spread the gospel, you'd like to be inspired by the Holy Spirit as well. And you actually have a testimony of something that you made recently whilst you're making videos for this camp meeting. You tell us what happened.
Sure. Well, there's a variety of different things that I had to work on pre-camp meeting. And... it was the project that Michael was talking about was a logo design, a logo animation, and a whole batch of videos, I believe around 14. And so to make a logo, first off, it's not the process of a day or a couple hours. Sometimes it can be, but usually, especially with something as big as, and to explain, these videos were the VAES futures that you've been seeing throughout the week. For the village school.
Mm-hmm.
These, especially if it's a school logo, you really want to take the time and make sure that it's communicating what you want, because this will be a long lasting.
So logo. How much time do you usually take, or how much time is required to make that?
Right. I would say maybe like a couple weeks or even a month.
Even a month.
Couple months. Mm-hmm.
So how much did it take you? How much time did it take you to create it?
It took me around 4 hours.
Really?
Yeah.
So what happened?
Yeah. So what happened was I was so pressed for time, and I was like, I don't have no clue how I'm going to do this. I got down on my knees and I prayed this prayer. And I remember reading in the book of Exodus, if you go there, I believe in Exodus chapter somewhere in the 20s. Forgive me for not knowing the reference, but it's interesting to know that in the building of the sanctuary, it talks about how the artists or the craftsmen who were building the sanctuary, it says God filled them, or they had the spirit of wisdom.
Amen.
So I got down on my knees. I asked, mm-hmm. Lord, as you did for them, please grant me your Holy Spirit. I can't do this without you. And so
Amen.
From there, God blessed. I made out everything in a short amount of time, and it's been, yeah.
Praise the Lord, because there might be someone out there, maybe a young person or someone who is working on videos or who's wanting to start to make videos. Maybe you're looking at videos that are made by professionals. You're thinking, no, I'm not qualified to make videos.
Very good point.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And your testimony, kneeling down and asking God that Lord, here am I. You are the great creator. You are the one who designed the whole planet. Isn't it beautiful? The rivers, the oceans, the grass and the flowers, everything came from the design of God. And he is the same God that who can give us inspiration to give us something that will help us communicate the gospel in right. a more attractive way. So knowing that and understanding that God, Jesus is by your side, and he's the greatest designer of all designers. He can help you to be able to design something that will catch the attention of people. So we are coming to the end of our seminar here. So I just want to ask you, Pastor Jonathan, any words, final words for the people out there that are watching?
Sure. I would say if you are a young person or even an older person in ministry and you're looking to use video for ministry, first and foremost, recognize that everything comes from God and Amen. That God is the one ultimately who will help you to grow in your talents. Mm-hmm. Whether you realize it or not, it's easy to say, okay, I can watch a bunch of tutorials. And the thing is, the truth is, of course, we don't want to neglect that. You know, God uses the education that we've learned.
Right.
But at the same time, we want to continually depend upon him in the creation of our content. So it's important to rely upon God, continue to grow and learn as much as you can. But at the same time, don't let it draw you further away from ministry, because it can happen like that. But instead, see how it connects to God. See how it connects to the Bible. And it'll actually teach you a lot of lessons to grow your faith as well.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Jonathan, for sharing all the things that you have shared
Thank
with
you.
Us in this seminar. And I want to encourage you, if you're watching this seminar live or you watch it later, if you have questions, just send us a message. Go to our website and hit that button that says contact us and fill in the contact us form. Just send us questions. We'll be able to respond to any questions that you might have. We were not able to cover everything about content creation or digital evangelism in these four segments of our seminar. And we are planning as well to come up with a full series that covers every single detail of what we use and what we do for digital evangelism as well. But I just want to encourage you, I want to appeal to you, if you have your smartphone, if you have your device, if you have the simplest equipment you can have.
Use what you have.
Use what you have. Start. Don't be intimidated by people you see with gimbals, with cranes and different things. They're all good. We can use them for ministry. But if you don't have all those things, start simple. Start small. God will use you. Ask advice from people that are in ministry that are using their talents and gifts as well. And let us create content for Christ, because there's a lot of content out there that is for the world and that is full of darkness, and we have less content that is spreading the gospel. So I want to encourage you, I want to challenge you that God is by your side and you can be able to create content for him through video and design and different Amen. Things as well.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.